VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on the VCY America Network. Ladies and gentlemen, in Genesis chapter 1, we see the handiwork of God in creation. I mean, he created man in his own image. He created male and female, we were told in Scripture. And then in verse 28 of chapter 1, it says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish," or to fill the earth and subdue it, "and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And so we see Adam and Eve having Abel and Cain and Seth. And in Genesis chapter 5, verse 4, we read that Adam and Eve begat sons and daughters. And friends, this carried on person after person. We see the same happen with Seth and Enos and Canaan and Mahalalel and others as we go through Genesis chapter 5. You can read that genealogy there. However, there is a growing problem today. Not that we have too great a population, but that worldwide fertility is declining. It's being reported that even industrialized nations today has fertility rates under replacement values, under the levels that replacement is needed. Our guest today has indicated that we're heading for a demographic train wreck, a demographic winter. Demographers and governments know about it, but no one can figure out what to do about it. Well, joining us today, we welcome Don Fetter. Don is a writer, researcher, and columnist. He is a graduate of the Boston University College of Liberal Arts and the Boston University Law School. He was admitted to the practice of law in New York and Massachusetts. He was a Boston Herald editorial writer and syndicated columnist for some 19 years. Since November of 2021, he's been a staff writer for the Washington Times. He's been a communications consultant, a writer, a conference organizer for various pro-life and pro-family NGOs. He's a recipient of numerous awards. Don, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim.
Don, if you would, let's first of all define our terms. Demographic winter, what exactly is it?
It's rapidly declining fertility. Total fertility rate, Jim, is the number of children the average woman will have in her lifetime. Now, in order to maintain current population, the average woman or typical woman has to have 2.1 children in the course of her lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
That's called replacement level fertility. Worldwide, fertility rates fell more than 50% in less than 70 years. In other words, Jim, in 1950, the total fertility rate worldwide was 4.7. By 2021, it had fallen to 2.4.
Hmm. And that's a worldwide perspective.
It is worldwide, yeah.
And I understand that you indicate Asia is really leading the march into this demographic winter. So we know that's not always been the case with Asia, though, has it?
No. At one time, Asia was known for its high birth rates. By the way, this is a plague that afflicts every developing nation. I don't know if there's one developing nation today that has replacement level fertility.
Wow.
But Asia kind of stands out. Japan, for instance, has a fertility rate of, 1.3, I think, in Japan.
Right.
The nation of Japan is actually, Jim, losing 800,000 people a year. In other words, every year, there are 800,000 more deaths than births in Japan.
Wow.
And there are countries in Asia that are even worse. South Korea, the fertility rate isn't even at 1. It's 0.74. So, you know, even the Philippines, which probably has the highest fertility rate in Asia, it's 1.9.
My. And we're going to talk about the implications on that as well. But China is in this mix as well. I know they were so concerned by overpopulation, they insisted on this one-child policy. How's that working out for them?
Not well. Not well. China's fertility rate is about 1.3. And the president of China, President Xi, is begging people to have more children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first they had a one-child limit, then a two-child limit. Now there's no limit at all, and the time will come, I'm willing to predict, where the Chinese government will start forcing couples to have children.
Just like they forced abortions to take place.
Exactly.
Wow. So, a matter of fact, the Chinese president is actually calling on people, and quote, to actively foster a new culture of marriage and childbearing. Are they doing that?
They're trying, but it's not working. You know, when you've told people for 50 years not to have children or have very small families, you can't do a 180-degree turn and suddenly tell them you have to have more children.
Mm-hmm.
There are demographers in China who predict that between now and the end of this century, China will lose 60% of its population.
My. You mentioned South Korea at 0.74. I understand they're actually paying parents?
They are. There are many countries, not just in Asia, but in Europe as well, uh-huh, that are paying people to have children. Sometimes you'll get a brief blip in the fertility rate, but it doesn't stay there. You know, procreation, you really can't pay people to have children, at least not enough to make it worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
It has to come from inside. It has to come from the heart.
Yeah. And we'll be talking more about the role of faith in this as well, but further looking at this problem, let's look at the workforce as well. I believe it's indicated that the aging workforce, like in South Korea, 0.74, the fertility rate there, that a quarter of that workforce is 70 or older.
That's right. And, you know, the same is true throughout Asia. In Korea, I'm sorry, you mentioned Korea. In Japan, something like 40% of the workforce is over 80.
My.
Over 80 years old, and they're still working. They have to. The problem, you know, I talked about a demographic train wreck. And this is the analogy. You have two trains heading for a collision course. On one train, you have a growing number of elderly. And the resources needed to meet their needs, including their medical needs and pensions. On the other train, you have declining fertility, fewer and fewer children. Well, you can imagine what the outcome is going to be.
Doesn't look very bright.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, there is hope, but certainly I think, Jim, I think this is the most vexing problem that's going to confront humanity for the rest of the century. And if we don't get this right, we're not going to get anything right.
Yeah. Don, what do you observe with Russia? Are they seeing the same issue there?
They are. And, you know, Putin has tried. He's tried to get people to have more children. He's paid them. In Russia, they even had a national conception day, you know, where they told factory workers, go home and, you know, do what comes naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be entered in a lottery, and if your child is born 9 months later, you can win these fabulous prizes. I mean, seriously, Putin was doing everything he could think of.
My.
And the fertility rate is still abysmally low. And, of course, Russia now has the largest landmass on Earth,
mm-hmm,
that it has to govern and populate. And it has a declining population. Of course, the war in the Ukraine hasn't helped that at all.
And we're going to see what's contributing to this, but I want to get some more perspective here. We've looked at Asia in particular, but give us an overview of Europe, the EU nations. How are things looking there?
Well, in the European Union, the fertility rate, the last time I checked, I think it's gone down since then, the fertility rate was 1.5, which is, about 60%. Of the fertility that they need just to maintain current population. The United States, Jim, I was part of the baby boom generation. And when I was growing up, the fertility rate in the United States back in the 1950s was 4. The average woman had 4 children. Today it's about 1.6 or 1.66 and declining.
And there's one continent that seems to kind of be bucking this trend, and that's Africa, isn't it?
Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, Jim, is the only continent that has above replacement fertility. And even there, fertility rates are declining, and the population controllers, Planned Parenthood International, the United Nations Population Fund, are doing everything in their power to get Africans to have fewer children. I've talked to Africans who've said, you know, the West won't give us clean water. It won't give us antibiotics, but it gives us contraceptives.
And this is something that the likes of Bill Gates have been very much in favor of.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's having an impact internationally on this level.
Yes, he is, but he's not the only one. The United Nations... We subsidize Planned Parenthood. A lot of the money that we give to Planned Parenthood, some of it goes to counseling people to get abortions in the United States, but a lot of it goes to population control overseas. So U.S. taxpayers are helping to fund this.
And I'm hearing Bill Gates talking in my mind where he's saying, if we do a real good job of vaccinations, we will save lives and reduce the population at the same time. And that makes one rather suspicious of what's in these vaccinations.
Yes, it does. And a lot of people are suspicious of that. You know, Jim, we were talking about declining population in the United States. If it weren't, by the way, if it weren't for illegal immigration or immigration generally, our population would be declining. But you can see this everywhere. Schools are being turned into senior housing.
Yes.
And nursing homes. This is the trend of the future.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Don Feder is our guest today. We're discussing demographic winter. We're kind of laid out the problems that are before us, but what is causing this? What is driving this? We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk further about what is driving this aspect of this demographic winter. And some of the matters that focus in on this are the sexual revolution, believe it or not, and folks, even those who are just totally declining marriage today. So we'll take a look further at these aspects. We'll also be looking at solutions to the matter. But stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how long does it take to make oil?
Chris, oil is the altered remains of organic molecules. These are primarily hydrogen and carbon, and after death they can metamorphose into hydrocarbon oil. It doesn't take long. In fact, there are a number of ways to rapidly convert organic material into oil, but all of them are rather expensive and inefficient. However, if water is injected into the organic material, then the process is much more efficient and quick. This reminds me of the great flood of Noah's day when excessive heat and pressures combined with lots of waters to act on the abundant living things which were destroyed by the flood. Chris, it all fits. Even the difficult questions like the origin of oil can best be answered from a back to Genesis perspective.
To find out more about creation science, visit us on the web at www.icr.org. That's www.icr.org.
Yeah.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Don Fetter is our guest here today. We're discussing demographic winter, and friends, we're talking about the rapidly declining fertility that's taking place all across this planet. We need to have a 2.1 children per woman for replacement levels here across this nation and around the world, and it's just not happening. I mean, staggering numbers that Don gave us, 1.3 in Japan and 1.3 in China, 0.74 in South Korea, the EU, 1.5. And here in the U.S., it's about 1.6. And friends, we cannot replenish our population with this. So, Don, let's take a look at the driving factors as to what is causing this change in demographics, from the 1950s to now. What is driving this?
Jim, you mentioned the sexual revolution. That certainly is playing a huge part in it. Every year, there are 73 million abortions worldwide. Let that figure sink in, 73 million worldwide. Mm-hmm. That's three times the number of military deaths in the Second World War. The United States, among people who were 18 to 29 years old, this is known as prime childbearing years. In 1978, 59% were married. Today, it's 20%. Hmm. So people aren't getting married. Now, obviously, you don't have to marry to have children. But generally, by and large, people who don't marry don't have children. Mm-hmm. By midpoint in the century, demographers predict that there'll be more people over 65 in this country than under 18. Well, one of the things I also wanted to mention in this regard, Jim, was contraception. For the first time in history, half of the childbearing population worldwide is using some form of contraception. There's also a change in attitude, and I think Pope Francis put it very well. He said, many people don't want to have children.
Mm-hmm.
He said they'll have two cats or two dogs. This is their substitute for children. Two cats or two dogs, but no children.
I'm going to just have us back up here a little bit down this railroad track here and talk about some of these things you mentioned. So the sexual revolution, how has that in itself impacted the matter of demographics and its relationship to marriage and so forth?
I think the crux of the sexual revolution is detaching sex from values.
Hmm.
There was once when we talked about people making love. Then we went from making love to having sex. Then we went from having sex to relations. I think the basic message of the sexual revolution is sex is about pleasure, and as long as you don't force yourself on someone else, any type of sex is as good as any other type.
Mm-hmm. And again, as I quoted from the beginning, as God laid it down very clearly in His Word about that, that relationship happening in that marriage relationship. And speaking of marriage, individuals have been, and you pointed out here, are either delaying marriage or not marrying at all. What is the thought? Why is this process happening?
Well, there was a time when marriage was a natural part of life. You grew up, got an education, got a job, and married. And no one asked why. It was just part of life. That changed in the last 50 years to the point where people are saying, well, I don't have to marry. If I love someone, I can just live with them.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't even have to live with them. You know, if I want to have sex with someone, then I can. Again, as long as there's no coercion involved, it's good.
Yeah. Money.
There was a time when parents insisted that if their children lived together, they had to marry. That's no longer the case, except for religious families, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's an attitudinal change in society.
Don, you also brought up the matter of abortion, and just a short while before coming on the program here, I was looking at the website numberofabortions.com and saw that we're approaching some 66 million abortions in the U.S. since the Roe v. Wade decision of 73, of which they report over 10 million of these are from Planned Parenthood alone. Worldwide since 1980, they're reporting 1.7 billion abortions taking place. And, I mean, we're treating it, you know, just like disposable paper plates and everything else. We have no value for life like this country once had.
Well, that's one way to look at it, Jim. Disposable people.
Yeah.
You know, we can dispose of human life at one end, that's abortion, and we can dispose of it at the other end, euthanasia, which, by the way, is coming. If you want to see where all of this is heading, a prophetic book and a very scary book is called The Children of Men by P.D. James. It's about a world where no child had been born in over 40 years. And what that society was like. Now, this was due to a worldwide plague of infertility, but, you know, you can take that scenario and impose it here. And by the way, you know, put morality aside for a moment. Not that you can ever really do that.
Right.
But a demographer will tell you that when you lose a child, you don't just lose that life. You lose the children they'd have. And you lose their children's children.
Yes, yes.
It's a ripple effect. So it's not 73 million abortions worldwide every year. It's 73 million abortions plus the children of the children who were aborted and their grandchildren.
Yeah, yeah. The numbers are staggering. And yet we're on a mission, Don, as you know, across this land. I mean, the election battles, and there are those who are saying, well, we're just going to have to give sway to this. You know, we just have to accept that, you know, abortions before, 15 weeks and so forth take place. And you know, hogwash. You know, we need to stand for life and not give sway to this.
Yeah. Yes, we do. You have one party, Jim. That's basically a president running for a re-election on two issues. His opponent is a threat to democracy and abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion is wonderful. You know, the right to abortion is more important than any other right we have.
Right.
That's what the president is telling us, mm-hmm. and he's going to preserve that right.
You know, looking at what's at stake with all of this, you mention that euthanasia is going to be a natural outcome of this. And just as we have the killing of the preborn taking place right now, the killing of the elderly is going to come naturally because the net fallout, Don, as you know, is that we're not going to be able to support. Our population is aging.
It's inevitable, Jim. I think the Minister of Families in France recently filed legislation to legalize euthanasia. Now, euthanasia is legal now only in a few countries, but it's a trend that's growing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the book that I mentioned, The Children of Men, one of the things that the novel forecast was governments encouraging people to kill themselves. Encouraging their families to kill them. But, yeah, as Shakespeare said, it must follow as the night follows the day. And it's so tragic.
Yeah. We think also what's at stake, rising health care costs. As one grows older, they have more medical expenses. And if we have an aging population, will we be able to sustain that, Don?
Well, that's an excellent question, and the answer is no. Obviously, it costs far more to take care of the health needs of a man who's 30 than a man who's 70.
Mm-hmm.
You have rising health care costs. You also have rising pension costs and pension contributions. You know, a shrinking pool of young workers is going to be forced to pay for the health care and the pensions of a growing pool of retirees.
Yeah. And so the tax burden on those that are younger is getting spiraling out of control as well.
It is indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is, you know, the analogy that I started with in my recent commentary, demographic train wreck.
Yeah. Friends, we're talking with Don Fetter today on this demographic winter, a demographic train wreck that we are speedily going down the track toward this end. And Don, one of the other things I was learning about as well is that in the countries in which we have such a the demographic ages are so much, they're not being replaced, and so we have elderly people that have no children to care for them or grandchildren to care for them, and they're dying alone.
Yeah, we can see this phenomenon most clearly in Japan. There's a whole industry, and I know this is kind of gruesome, but you mentioned it, and I'd like to expand. There's a whole industry in Japan dedicated to removing the remains of elderly Japanese who've died alone at home. In fact, the Japanese have an expression for it. They call it lonely death.
My. Let's talk about some positive aspects here of what can be done and so forth, but studies have shown there's actually a link between faith and fertility. Tell us about it.
A very strong link. You know, as the fertility rate has gone down, religious participation in this country has also declined.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, Pew Research asks people what their religion is, what their religious preference is. And the number of people who say none, the nuns, keeps growing. There are no fewer people who go to religious services. Let me rephrase that, Jim. A majority of Americans don't even go to religious services once a month, and that's not much. However, if you look at the people who are more involved with their church or their synagogue, these are the people having children. Look at who's having a lot of children in this country, or at least above replacement fertility. Evangelical Christians, Catholics who are loyal to Rome, Orthodox Jews, Hasidic Jews, Mormons, these are the people having a lot of children. Why? Because they take the commandments seriously. You know, when God said, be fruitful and multiply, the first commandment, by the way, there was no sunset clause.
Mm-hmm.
This is a commandment given to all people for all times.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Don Fetter is with us today looking at this demographic winter that is fast approaching. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and just talk about what can be done, and also we'll be taking in your calls, your questions here today on the broadcast as well. So be ready to formulate your questions or brief comments coming up here in just a short while. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
There is a significant uptick in the intensity of the issues bombarding us. It's not a single battle being waged, but an all-out war on numerous fronts. The attack on biblical values, the demonizing of Christianity, escalating lawlessness, the emerging secular agenda, and the growing control of the populace are all unfolding. These assaults share the common thread of globalism. Globalism by the powerful elite in order to have supremacy over the people, their land, government, commerce, energy, and even religion. In the book Globalism, The Great World Consumption, author Richard Smith tackles these matters head on by not only looking at the perilous times in which we live, but to see how this lust for control is propelling us toward a one-world political system and both a one-world economic and religious system. The book Globalism is available from VCY for a donation of $16 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, talking about this demographic train wreck, a demographic winter that is coming upon us very rapidly with worldwide rapidly declining fertility rates and not reaching replacement levels in country after country, especially happening in industrialized nations. And the question is, what can be done? So, Don, let's talk about some of those issues as to what can be done. And let me have you comment on this first aspect, and that is to protect marriage and the sanctity of marriage.
Absolutely. We should be encouraging people, young people, especially to get married. And, you know, today government does everything it can, a federal government now in the United States, to promote alternatives to marriage.
Yeah, sadly.
You know, the Biden administration says they don't know what a woman is.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what a woman is, then you certainly don't know what a man is. So who's going to get married? Yeah. Well, you know, same-sex couples. Same-sex couples aren't having children. You know, so-called transgender men and women are not having children, unless they adopt, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But this, I mean, the Biden administration is just the fruition of all of this nonsense that's been kicking around in our culture seemingly forever.
So protecting marriage is one thing that can be done, and I see another aspect is that of encouraging large families.
Yes, that's right. Of course, government can only go so far in that direction. I think ultimately encouraging large families is going to be up to churches and other religious institutions more than government. Government can facilitate this, though. One of the ways it can do that is to get inflation under control,
mm-hmm.
so that people have more disposable income. There are people who would like to have a family or a larger family. You can't, because they can't afford, you know, an apartment or a house for their children. I'm not using this as an excuse. I think people who want children will always find a way to have them, but we can make it easier rather than making it harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the policies and even the tax policies, we hear the marriage tax penalties and so forth taking place. That is certainly reform that can happen on the legislative level.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Another aspect is an absolute rejection of abortion. I mean, this is critical for this time.
It is. And, at the very least, there should be a 15-week limit. I'm not saying that that's enough. I mean, I consider myself a staunch pro-life advocate, but 15 weeks is a place to begin. After 15 weeks, it's not abortion. I'm searching for the term. I'm blanking on this,
yeah.
Jim.
Well, and perhaps the blank is because, Don, it would be my perspective that, you know, even before that, 14 weeks, 13, there's a heartbeat. And before, we know that life begins at conception. We were told all through, you know, through COVID, follow the science. If science tells us this, well, we need to follow the science on this as well as a nation to have a high regard for life and regard the sanctity of human life, rather than, you know, treating it as being disposable. And certainly what we're seeing happen in so many states right now where that you can take the life of a child up until the moment before birth. And then even if the child is born when you didn't intend for it, you know, as the former governor of Virginia said, well, we'll leave that up to the doctor and the mother as well. It's just plain wrong.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
And yet, the other side is constantly pushing this. They say follow the science, but there's a codicil. For them, follow the science only when it's convenient.
Yeah, yeah. So again, friends, this aspect of rejecting abortion, again, recognize what Scripture says. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. We're told, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not do no murder. And taking the life of a baby in the womb needs to be rejected. Let's talk about also, Don, on another aspect, and that is stopping the population control propaganda. I can't tell you how this is being, it's being so overemphasized in our world today that we're overpopulated. And a matter of fact, this whole climate change, eco-nonsense that is going on, saying that we're going to harm our planet if we have more children, and everybody's got to measure their carbon footprint and evaluate that. We've got to stop this propaganda.
That's right. And a lot of kids, and this will come as no revelation to you, Jim, a lot of kids absorb this through public education. I mean, look at who controls public education: the National Education Association, the American Federation of Teachers. I hope this is not going to sound extreme, but these are neo-Marxist groups. And they follow the agenda of the radical left.
Mm-hmm.
In every aspect of it, including population control, including man-made climate change, which has never been proved, by the way. But a lot of young people are absorbing this, and they're saying, well, God, I can't have more children. More children will destroy the planet.
So they say. Friends, we're going to open our phone lines, taking your comments, brief comments, or a question for our guest today, Don Fetter. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Don, can we also not in our society promote a family-friendly culture?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I've had friends who have large families, and they've taken them out shopping. They've told me that strangers have come up to them and berated them for having children.
Yeah.
I mean, as crazy as that sounds.
Yeah, indeed. And or being asked, are you operating a daycare? to larger families and having a family-friendly culture that is accepting of children is so important. Don, let me also just find from you the a point of contact. You've got a Facebook. How can people find you on Facebook?
Well, they could find me on Facebook by searching my name, Don Fetter Writer. That'll go to my Facebook page. I have 5,000 friends, so I can't add more at this time, although people are always dropping off. But you don't have to be a friend to visit my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Ruth Institute, an organization that I've been involved with in the past, has a demographic winter resource center. So if you're looking for more information, articles, interviews, you can also go to the Ruth Institute.
Mm-hmm. And our guest, by the way, is spelled Fetter, is F-E-D-E-R. Don
right.
Fetter. And writer, and you'll get more information there, F-E-D-E-R. Not to be confused with another guest we often have, Bill Federer. But both men who are standing, and concerned really for our nation, the direction that we're going right now. Again, our number to Crosstalk, I see our lines are packed, 800-733-9829. We're going to begin with Harmon in the state of Texas. Harmon, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm interested in the fertility rate of the country of India.
Don, do you have info on India?
Not off the top of my head, but I think India now is below replacement fertility. By the way, since China's fertility rate went down, it no longer has the largest population on Earth. Now that's India. But India is also bought into the myth of population control leading to economic prosperity. In reality, it's exactly the opposite. If you want to make progress in the economic realm, you need more people.
Mm-hmm.
The Industrial Revolution began in the United Kingdom and then in the United States because we had booming populations.
Great. Thank you for your call here. I just quick did a web search as well, and the Economic Times is pointing out that, as you mentioned, that India is below replacement rates as far as their levels are concerned, and getting down to around, let's see, rate for India is 2 with wide variations within the country, like 1.6 for Punjab, West Bengal is three is for Bihar among the large states. So really varies across the state, but across the nation at two at this point. They're at least according to the Economic Times.
And heading in the wrong direction.
Right, exactly. Thank you for the call. We're going next to Douglas in Phoenix, Arizona. Douglas, you're on the air.
Yes, I had two questions. One was you mentioned harmful marriage taxes, and I wanted to know a little bit more about that. The other question was, if nothing changes, if nothing improves, what are we looking at in 100 years?
Well, I think Elon Musk put it very well. He said the end of civilization.
The end of civilization, because we're not going to be able to survive that, Douglas.
We're not, you know, we won't have people to run the factories. We won't have people to work the farms, to grow the food. We won't have soldiers to guard the borders. We won't have policemen to keep us safe. Of course, that's a phenomenon you see occurring right now. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, I don't think Elon Musk is an alarmist when he says, if people don't start having more children, civilization cannot be maintained.
Yeah. Friends, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. And just on that marriage tax penalty, and this can vary even from state to state, but this is, you know, if two people, if they are married, as a couple, that if they are paying more than if they remained unmarried. And Don, we've also seen this, you know, come through with welfare benefits. If you are married, sorry, you don't qualify. You know, in certain cases, when we saw this, you have to be a single mother with dependent children, and then you can qualify for these benefits. And as a result, we saw people found, hey, this is better for us to split up. We'll get more money if we do that, and we'll get more federal aid.
That's right. That's how the Democratic Party destroyed the black family back in the 1960s with what they called welfare reform. Prior to that, if you were a woman and you had children and you wanted government support, you had to be married.
Mm-hmm.
After that, the only way you could get support is if you weren't married.
Yeah, yeah. And so so that's where there are different tax penalties that will kick in and so forth. And the government's even encouraged, you know, these non-married policies as well. Let's go next to Kathy in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is a comment question. I bet if he's got the capabilities of breaking it down this way, that Muslims are having many, 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 many children.
Yeah.
And, of course, these are the people that are persecuting the Christians.
Yeah. Hey, good point. And I don't know if you have a comment on, but we're seeing the Jewish people and Christians as being the enemy of Islam, and their numbers are growing.
Yeah, they are. But, you know, even in the Muslim world, fertility rates are going down.
Hmm.
But, of course, you know, last into demographic winter certainly has an advantage. Interestingly, in Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, fertility rates are below replacement.
Wow.
Because most
tell you what, let me just pause you there. We got to take a break. Don Federer with us. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. When I went to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation website at wisconsindot.gov, what did I find? Openly on the website, Wisconsin ID card for voting purposes. And what did I find? That so-called U.S. citizens can get a free ID for voting, even if you don't have any documentation available. And then I started searching other states. Apparently, this is becoming a real problem. And then we found a flyer that is now being cited by members of the U.S. House of Representatives that was being passed out in Mexico as illegals were coming over the border, encouraging them to vote for Joe Biden so the border can stay open. How is it that illegals are voting? If you're not a citizen here, how is this possible? Well, it's because many states now are openly encouraging illegal aliens to vote. Are you concerned about this fall election?
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Don Feder is our guest today, F-E-D-E-R. You can search his name, friends, in the search engine, and then put in the words demographic winter, and you'll find videos, you'll find writings, other research that he has done on this issue. You had mentioned Iran, and just as you did that, I quick called up here and saw the current fertility rate for Iran in 2024 is 2.081 births per woman, which is a 48.5% decline from 2023, which is and it's declined much greater from previous years than that. And we cut you off right in the middle of your comments there, Don. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Jim, that, average Iranians, and by the way, we're not fighting the people of Iran. We're fighting the Islamic government of Iran, but the people are revolting against having Islam forced down their throats.
Yeah.
And that's why in Iran, and I wouldn't have, if I hadn't seen the same figures you've seen, Jim, I wouldn't have believed it. That's why there is below replacement fertility in Iran.
Wow. Very interesting. We've got Chris calling next from Hayward, Wisconsin. Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. Great show. Yeah, I just wanted to say, I suppose, too, God predestined some people to be celibate. I got saved when I was 30. I'm 45 now. And
yeah.
I've been going to church for 15 years now, and I'll admit, though, I am, from a human standpoint, it does kind of frustrate me that no one's come my way yet. Granted, we live in a smaller community, but I'd always thought that in 15 years time span, God would bring a woman into the church and we would, meet and hit it off well, but so far that hasn't happened. I mean, I'm still young enough, I guess, to have kids, but I'll be honest with you, though, I mean, I do get lonely a lot of times, and there's two things that I pray for. And I know we all pray for this, that for the Lord to come soon, as John did in Revelation. But another thing I pray for is, if it's the Lord's will, if it's his will, that he would take me home sooner and spare me a life of loneliness, because my parents are getting older and they're not going to be around forever. And I just think about that a lot, and I don't want to be old and alone. And I know you were talking about that earlier, Jim, about people dying alone. And I'd rather just the Lord take me before my time, if it's his will, or most of all, that he would come soon. But that's my comment. So thanks, guys.
Let me ask you a personal question, if I may. Are you a member of a church?
Nope.
I'm sorry?
He hung up there, so he's not available there.
What I was going to say is, if you're lonely, if you want to get married, if you're looking for a mate, is going to your pastor, going to your priest, going to your rabbi, and saying, I want to marry. I want to have a family. Chances are they'll know someone in the congregation.
It may, and he mentioned being in a small community, in a small church, in that regard. But again, don't despair, and certainly stay in prayer, and let the Lord guide you. And for some, it is to be faithful in ministry, but certainly occupy until the Lord does return, and stay faithful in that regard. We've got Eddie calling next in from Kentucky. Hi, Eddie. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Jim. The word that Don was trying to think of a while ago is murder. After 15 weeks, abortion is nothing less than murder. And, our nation really just needs to get right with God.
Yeah.
Everything's out of kilter. Our leadership's out of kilter. I don't know if God's judging America by Joe Biden or not, but I would like to see God back welcome in our schools, back welcome in our government, back welcome in our churches. God bless y'all for a tremendous program. You're doing a great job.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we push God out from everything and then wonder why are we in such a mess here, Don?
Yeah, and it's, yes, everything is in God's hands, but we're his instruments in this world. I once did a talk show, and a woman called and said, I just pray. I don't do anything else. And if God wants something to happen, it will. And if he doesn't want it to happen, it won't. And I said, this is like going to a doctor to be diagnosed. And rather than giving you a diagnosis, prescribing treatment, the doctor says, look, what are you bothering me about? Go home. If God wants you to live, you'll live. If he wants you to die, you'll die. Well, God gave the doctor skill and understanding to help people.
And let's get to John next in Kentucky. John, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. One reason why the birth rate and everything so low and marriage rate so low is there's no good reason why a man would get married nowadays. With the court systems in the Bible, to get a divorce or anything, you had to go through the religious leaders in the church. The church washed their hands of that. Men have paid the price for it, and they're fed up with it. I know a number of people that have gone overseas and married women overseas, and they're happy with the women over there, and they live there now also. They're not – they're in this country, the laws are set up – they're sexist. The men take a beating every time they go to court almost, not always, but the percentage of the time. There's no incentive for a guy to get married anymore.
Well, there is incentive, John, and we don't approach marriage, though, with anticipation of divorce. We're told in the book of Malachi, God hates divorce. And so we don't approach the marriage saying, okay, I've got to look for a way out before I'm even getting into this. So make sure that we're entering into marriage for the right reason, recognizing that God has ordained marriage. One man and one woman for life. That is his plan for us, and we don't want to go into it making other plans other than that. Thank you for the comment. And then quickly, Colleen in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi. I enjoyed your last consultation.
We're almost out of time very quickly.
It's people are not living as Christians. The women are worldly, and they want the big houses and the fancy designer stuff. And the men are willing to let the women go to work to get all that stuff and then substitute for God and his ways.
Yeah.
They want to substitute entertainment and stuff.
Colleen, thank you. I'll have our guest comment on this whole aspect of materialism. But I also want to point out there are those who want to have children and cannot. We certainly take that into account as well, but materialism is something, Don, that has been an impedance as well.
Oh, it has. It has. You know, I was talking to two young women recently who were married, just married. One was a traditional Catholic, one was an evangelical Christian, and it's none of my business, but I said to them, so when are you going to have children? And the response was exactly the same. Well, my husband wants to be secure in his career. I don't want to take time out. We need a larger house. And my response was, oh, well, I didn't realize in the Bible God said be fruitful and multiply, but only under these conditions.
Right. And Don, thank you for leaving us with that. Don Federer has been our guest here today. We're out of time. Don, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Jim. Appreciate the opportunity.
And friends, thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.